Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Impact Online. We're right in the middle of a series right now called Overflow, and it is about being anointed and appointed out of Isaiah 61. And verse 1 and 2, Jesus says, or speaking of Jesus, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from those who are prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. And I just want to really tie those last two verses together about the favor of God and the day of vengeance. And God is actually talking about the battles that we face in life, but there is actually favor to be found, that God will do the fighting for us and with us. And so in every battle in life, we can find favor in the battle. You know, we often think that just because we're having battles in our life and adversity in our life, there's something wrong. But actually the opposite is true, because you actually discover in the middle of the battle, there is actually favor in adversity. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Now, there is tribulation. In the middle of tribulation, there's actually favor to be found. Jesus said, "I've overcome the world." So every one of us today, we're battling something. And I think, you know, it's because, you know, we often feel, because I'm a Christian, that I shouldn't be in a constant battle. But that's not true, because that's how God actually brings kings out of the shepherd. You know, your adversity is the pathway to your promotion. I've been walking with Jesus for 48 years, and to be honest, it's been one battle after another. But that's how God grows us. I've actually learned to find the favor of God and the strength of God and the wisdom of God in every battle, and have overcome them. And so the principle of divine favor in the battle is actually a great example from Moses. And so, you know, the Amalekites, they attacked the nation of Israel in the Valley of Rephidim, which actually means the Valley of Giants. And oftentimes we feel like there are giant-sized problems and battles to face. But in Exodus chapter 10, it talks about there in verse 10, it says that Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And then Moses' hands grew tired, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, and one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And there is a transferable lesson to be learned in this, in these verses right there, is that simply this, is that when the hands were raised, there was supernatural favor. It flowed in the battle. There was victory in the battle. But whenever the hands were lowered, that the enemies overtook them, and the victory was lost. And so there's a couple of applications that we can learn from this. And first of all, is that our victory is actually won as our hands, personally, as we keep our hands raised, as we keep speaking praise, as we keep speaking life, keep speaking victory, with hands raised, you know, it always brings victory. And so what's in your mouth, you know, the position in our life, you know, when you praise, you raise, but I like to say when you grumble, you stumble. And simply because we can't do it alone. We need God, but we also need other people, because there is the Aaron and the Hur to support him. And we cannot fight our battles in isolation. God gives us favor, but he brings us people to strengthen us as well. But you know, there's a spiritual principle. So that's in the natural realm. But in the spiritual realm, you know, when Moses had his hands raised, it says that he had the rod that was in his hands. And so there was favor in the battle. And so, but everything in the Old Testament actually points to Jesus, because as the sun was setting, Joshua was fighting in the battle, and as you look on top of the hill, he saw three figures standing on top of the hill. There was Moses in the middle with his hands raised, and then each side of him there was Aaron and Hur supporting him. And so we see there that with the hands raised, there was favor in victory in the battle. And so it was actually pointing to Jesus, to the cross on Calvary, because Jesus' hands were nailed to the cross between two thieves. And as we look at Jesus, as we understand, as he was on the cross, that there was favor found in every battle in our life. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says that Jesus, who died, but more than that, was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Jesus, he won and continues to make intercession for us as we look at him. And so the favor that Moses, as his hands were outstretched, the battle was being won in the battle, so too with Jesus, as his hands were outstretched on the cross, the victory was won, and he's making intercession for each one of us right now. And so there's healing, there's deliverance and release flowing into our life as we keep looking to Jesus. And so as we keep our arms raised and with an attitude of praise, we find that Jesus will bring favor in the battle. So God actually makes kings out of the shepherds. And we're going to learn some lessons from David's life this morning, because it was actually as in the battle, as a shepherd, God released him to become a king. And there's actual promotion in every battle that you find. There's favor in the battle. So the first thing, three lessons we can learn about the battles of life. Number one, there's the battle eternal, because in 1 Samuel 17, it says that the Philistines stood on the mountain, one on one side and Israel on the other, and the mountain on the other side, and with them the valley between. And so there was an eternal battle, good between evil, the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. And there's actually a spiritual battle that's been fought on the earth right now. And we see that between the Philistines and the children of Israel, that there is actually in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly places, there is a battle to be fought. And so as we understand this, we see that the generation that's coming up today is actually, right now, I believe there's a battle for our children. There's a battle being fought for the next generation. We're seeing the world slide into a greater abyss of depravity. But it's actually time for the church to rise, to stand up and to fight, and for the light of God's love to shine upon the earth. You know, the battle fought in the valley was in the natural realm, but the victory was won in the spiritual realm. And so there's divine favor in and victory because of what Jesus has done for us. And so there's an attack today on the identity of our children as never before. You know, where we're seeing this world call right wrong and wrong right. People have lost direction and hope and meaningful life. And it's time for the church right now is to shine bright in the midst of darkness as a beacon of hope and light for what the world is looking for answers. Only Jesus can give that answer. You know, in Europe, I traveled there some years ago, and as I went around the villages and the small townships in Europe, the tallest buildings in the village was actually the churches and the church steeple. And I heard it was said that, you know, if the people, for whatever reason, had too much to drink and they stumbled out of the local tavern and they lost their way home and thinking, well, where am I? Where do I live? All they would do, they would look to the church, they'd look to the steeple, and they would find their way home. They would look up and they'd find their way home. And today, God wants his church to be the prominent center of our communities. So when people look to the church, they will find their way home. And you know, as Impact Church, you know, our mission statement is we are a church. We serve our community, we engage through business, and we build the kingdom. We're actually taking ground in our buildings, in the way we serve our communities, and it reflects God's love. It brings light in the darkness. You know, with our Impact Gym and our Kids World and our Restore, all the different areas that we have to engage with our community. Right here at Erina, we have over 10,000 people every week coming into our building, but they actually are encountering the love of God and the light and the hope that we find in Jesus. And so, you know, the high places is where the spiritual realms are fought, either won or lost. And I'm just believing as the church continues to shine brighter that, you know, the lowest divorce figures, the lowest domestic violences, the lowest crime and poverty, and the most blessed and prosperous areas is actually going to be right here on the Central Coast, and every place that there is a church shining brightly. Why? Because the church is the hope of the world, and my personal mission statement, you know, is to build great churches, both physically and spiritually, that will take ground. And over 45 years of ministry, we've seen churches in the Barossa Valley and Gawler and here on the Central Coast with great places of influence that are transforming our societies. And there is an eternal battle being fought over our nation, more now than ever before, but it's time for the church to shine brighter than ever before. There is a battle eternal. There's an eternal battle. So the degree of the intensity of the battle, with that same degree, we see the degree of the Lord's favor that's upon us. The second one is the battle internal, because in 1 Samuel 17, it talks about David. He said, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God." You know, we see with Goliath, for 40 days, there was relentless intimidation. It was like a face-off with Israel. You know, Goliath was 10 foot tall. He had a helmet, a bronze helmet on his head. He had a coat of armor that weighed over 60 kilograms. He had bronzed armor on his legs. He had a javelin that was 10 foot tall, a spear 10 foot tall, and the iron tip was over 7 kilograms. And morning and night, he would actually mock and abuse Israel. And he said, "I defy the armies of the living God. Give me a man and let us fight one another." And so Israel, every night they went to bed with fear and intimidation. They woke up every morning with fear and intimidation. Today, there is such an epidemic of anxiety and depression, highest levels that's ever been in society. Why? Because most people go to bed at night full of fear and anxiety and thoughts of intimidation, and they wake up, their first thoughts of the day is fear and intimidation as well. And so, you know, what giants are dominating your thought? Because there's a battle internal, and God is going to reset you. He's going to set you free today. You know, your adversaries is there to conquer and to dominate you. And, you know, your adversaries is there to try and crush you, but God uses it to bring something good out of you. Why? Because there's favor in adversity. And so today we can conquer and find God's favor in greater ways and to conquer the battles that we all face. And there are giants of intimidation that will intimidate you and me, but understand, as David did, that he declared, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? God's given me the victory with the lion and the bear, and he'll be like one of them." And we all have an internal operating system, and just like we do on our computers, but when we're born again, sometimes there's a default operating system on our internal hard drive. My default system was, "I'm not good enough." You know, it was one of fear and intimidation and insecurity. And my life was filled with guilt and shame. You know, guilt is when I did wrong, but shame says I am wrong. And God wants to put a new operating system and release me from that "I'm not good enough, you're not good enough," and replace it with a brand new operating system. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, the internal battle is a battle of the mind, of our thoughts. Seeing ourselves as God sees us is the key to release victory and favor. And that's what David said. He said, "You'll be like one of them." He remembered God gave him victory with the lion and the bear. And he said, "God will give me victory with him." And so all those thoughts of intimidation, realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God has given us victory in the middle of our battles. And so today we can stand strong in the confidence of who we are in Jesus. And the third battle is the battle external, because in verse 51, it says in 15:51 that David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in his hand of David. Therefore, David took the sword from the Philistine, took that sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. Very interesting. The same weapon that was used to attack David was the same weapon that God, that David used to destroy the enemy and to cut the head off of it. And so too, the weapons that are used against us to be the greatest weapons of fear and intimidation, God will turn that around and he'll use it for our greatest victories. And that's exactly what happened. I was just listening to the other day of a friend that I know is actually based in Brisbane. Her name is Jenny Gilpin. And she shared a testimony how she was adopted at 3 months of age from an abandoned children's home. And it was into a loving Christian home, but she lost her father at 16, but she grew up with a massive rejection because she didn't understand her background, her life, and to counter that, she became an overachiever, and it was all out of insecurity and rejection. She went to United Kingdom with her husband, they planted a church, and God blessed them over there, but there's still a real sense of longing to find out her identity as a baby. In the 90s in Australia, the laws had changed and she was able to contact her birth mother. She flew back to Australia and met her, and she had so many unanswered questions about her mother and about her father. And so it was just a great reunion, a time together. And then finally the mother says, "I guess you want to know something about your father." And she said, "Oh, yes, I do." And she says, "Well, I want to tell you that unfortunately you are a result of a gang rape. I don't know who your father is." And she said she never felt more alone, more dirty, and more shame and rejection in all of her life. But, you know, God showed her in his word that, you know, "Before you in my mother's womb, I knew you. I called you to be a prophet for the nation." Instead of just rolling over with that rejection, something rose up and she started a charity in England to look after and to rescue women that were involved with human trafficking. And as a result, she got homes set up all over England. She got to meet to two prime ministers and talk to them about the problems of human trafficking, even to train the consulates on the difficulties of human trafficking. She actually had laws changed in England because of it. But one time she went to visit one of the homes and there was 35 babies in prams, all rescued from trafficked women who are now living in safety and care and had a hope and a future. And God said to her, "Jen, that was you. The very thing that tried to destroy her and to take her out has become the place of greatest victory in her life. And there was favor in adversity." And I just want to encourage, what the enemy is meant for harm, God will use for good. Whatever your greatest battle in your life right now, I want to say, as you stand your ground, as you face your giant, as you see yourself as God sees you, as you keep looking to Jesus, who's making intercession for you, there is favor will flow, and there's favor to be found in the battle, and God will make a king out of a shepherd. And so today, there's a battle eternal, the battle internal. What's the internal battle that you're facing today? There's a battle external where God will turn it around for good. I want to pray for you for favor and blessing. Father, I pray blessing to every person who's fighting battles in their life, that they will find confidence in you today. Father, we thank you that we are new creations. Lord, we're more than conquerors. We're more than overcomers through Christ. And today we choose to see ourselves as you see us. And we thank you, Father, for this favor in the battle. And we put our trust and our confidence in you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord bless you. And I just want to encourage you to keep fighting those battles and see great victories take ground taken in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.